You are listening to another edition of Black Report Radio with the People's Minister of Information, J.R. Valray. Today, our guest is Greg Hodge. He is the CEO of the Brotherhood of Elders Network, and he is also a former member of the Oakland Board of Education. How are you doing, Mr. Hodge?
Brother, it's always good talking to you, J.R. You know, I know your journalism has spanned decades at this point, and, you know, the community benefits because of the stories that you get to tell.
Thank you, man. Thank you for coming on with me, and definitely thank you for the kudos. I brought you on today because there's a lot going on in Oakland, in Alameda County, basically in Northern California. One of the things that's striking everyone is crime. The economic collapse in Northern California is being blamed on crime, which I feel that's unjustifiable. There's an economic collapse going on around the country. What do you see happening in Northern California? How do you see what's going on with crime? And do you think that the media is manipulating the crime narrative for some kind of goal?
Thanks for, you know, having me on today. You know, I feel like there's a few things going on. I mean, if we start with the root causes of what's going on in terms of the housing crisis, which is an emergency, it's not just, you know, a few people out in the streets. It's significant. And I know that we need to do a whole lot of work around that. But I think that it is indicative of a failure of our economy. The American economy is based on a racialized capitalism. And I think that until we come to grips with that idea, with that fact, that there are going to always be huge disparities between the wealthiest and the most vulnerable, the economically poorest people in our communities. When I think about how this sort of notion of conflating being poor with being a criminal, you know, that narrative has probably always been with us, you know, from the founding of the country through the abolition and Civil War, through Jim Crow, through, you know, all of the mass incarceration. I mean, that's a narrative that has been part of the sort of American story from day one. I think that the symptoms are right now, it's the housing crisis. It's this perception and somewhat reality of safety and how people are staying safe. One of the people who I quote often on this is Zach Norris, who used to be at the Ella Baker Center. And Zach wrote a book called We Make Us Safe. And I really do believe that a well-resourced community is a safe community. If you have educational opportunities, if you have job opportunities, opportunities to work that are meaningful jobs with a livable wage, where you've got an opportunity to grow your family, whatever that family looks like. I think that those are the things that have not happened for too many people, especially Black folks in our community. And so when I think about, you know, the number of people that are unhoused in Alameda County and Oakland in particular, we're talking about generally around 6,000 people on a given night that don't have proper shelter. About half of those folks are African American. And another 30 or so percent have mental health issues and are older, are, you know, retired seniors, people who have working class jobs that didn't provide for a robust retirement pension. When we think about that profile, that's an older Black person who may have mental health issues who is out on the street. And I think that there's some things that we can do immediately from county government to the extent that city government has resources to really the state government to really deal with that issue. It's a regional issue. It's not something, as you say, it's not just the issues of safety, the issues of the unhoused, though the issues of a failed economy are national issues, and they hit this region particularly hard because people can't afford to live here. You know, folks are moving to Antioch and Pittsburgh and Stockton so they can have a more affordable life. And for example, a lot of the folks who work for the county of Alameda have to drive, you know, an hour, 2 hours into work every day and make that same commute back home. And it means that their quality of life, their time with their families is limited. So I think that there's, you know, a range of issues going on. I think the media, and particularly now that we have so much immediate access to social media platforms, that the story associated with what is going on in Oakland gets amplified by people who would prefer to see Oakland not do well. I think it plays into the hands of developers and others, corporate developers who want to see Oakland be gentrified. It creates a dynamic where that we will get down to the worst possible scenarios having to call in California Highway Patrol, the backup, OPD. And I understand that people are fearful and that people are afraid, but I think that part of this is, you know, it gets amplified by the stories that come out around, you know, a lot of this that's going on. And actually, some of the particular types of crimes are actually going down. You know, our homicide rate is starting to level out a bit. And I think that we do need to focus on, you know, the personal safety of the grandmamas and the aunties and, folks that are out here who don't feel safe. But I do think that there's got to be a very balanced approach and allow, you know, for the mental health workers to do their jobs, allow for folks who are intervening on domestic violence situations to do their jobs, and keep a very limited role for law enforcement so we can get down to the very minimum things that law enforcement needs to do and do it in a coordinated way where it's possible, but mainly to have the right amount of law enforcement, but really focus on opportunity.
Well,
I think that's the direction.
Gavin Newsom, who seems to be possibly running for president, is the governor right now, and he brought 120 CHP, California Highway Patrol, law enforcement officials to the Bay Area to basically police our streets. What do you think about that? What do you think about the narrative that sends out? Do you think that the state can police its way out of the monetary depression that it's in?
No, I answered the last question first. You know, I think that there is no way to police our way into safety. There really is a moment for us to reconsider and to continue to consider, you know, how policing, you know, actually happens, the roots of policing being with the Native American community and slave patrols. I mean, I think that there's so much that needs to change about how we keep ourselves safe. If we're going to have police officers, you want those police officers to be from the community. You don't want an occupying force. You don't want folks who don't have any connections to a community, because it just means that you got this very standoffish, you know, situation going on. I think that, you know, politics will continue to play a role in the responses that people have. I'm disappointed that our police chief has not been hired, because I think that a big part of what's going on is leadership in the department. If you're going to have a police department, you want somebody, frankly, like LaRon Armstrong, who was from this community, had a 30-year career here. He's supported by the community. But I also think that we do need to hold all, you know, at every level, hold police officers accountable.
Let me jump in right there, because that's where I disagree with you. I mean, LaRon Armstrong had a history of covering for police officers that was involved in a lot of wrongful policing activities, to say the least. Why do you feel that we should cover for corrupt police, whether they're black or not?
Well, I don't believe we should cover for corrupt police. You know, my understanding of the reason that he got fired was an internal policing matter. It was a so-called hit and run of
that
a
an officer did,
didn't get,
right?
That didn't get reported.
Right.
But that hit and run was in a parking garage with a car that was parked.
But police have a responsibility to do things law and order more than anybody else. So whether he's black, let me finish.
I'm not saying we shouldn't hold him accountable. But is firing somebody and then you go on a year without finding a new replacement, is that the answer? That's the only thing I'm questioning. You know, and I think that let's think about the policing that was happening during the 80s with the rioters. Absolutely. The police department should have been held accountable. People should have been fired. You're putting serious hurt on the community and planting evidence on folks. I think that's a bit different than an internal affairs situation. And I'm not saying you should cover it up. You should hold people accountable.
Well,
have the right measure of accountability, because if we say that we'd rather have somebody like we had, what, four police chiefs in 5 years, the woman who was from Memphis, people who don't know this community. I mean, if we're going to have a police chief, wouldn't we want that person to be from Oakland?
I really don't care, honestly, where they're from, as long as they're accountable to the community. That's two different things.
Yeah, I agree
That's
with that.
That's two different things.
I agree with
so
that.
So I'm saying, just because LaRon Armstrong might be from West Oakland, he seemed to be pulling that blue line to me. I haven't seen anything that reflects him reopening the case on Celeste Guap or something like that, that really shows me that he's for the protecting of the community. Why are you protecting him?
I'm just saying that we ought to look at it in a fair situation. I'm just saying I'm not protecting LaRon any more than I'm saying hold him accountable. make sure that we have reasonable expectations for everybody who works in this community, whether it's teachers or police officers or social workers. Hold people accountable for sure. And I'm not saying that I have all the facts, all of the details about what was going on, but at least based on what was reported in terms of that specific situation that got him fired, I don't know that that's the reason to fire somebody. And again, there's a lot going on with this issue. I think the Police Oversight Commission should still be involved in this process, that they ought to be able to generate, you know, reasonable choices for the mayor to choose from. I don't necessarily agree that LaRon was a good choice to be sent up from that police commission. I don't agree with that. You know, I think that boat has kind of sailed, as they say. So all I'm saying is I'm not arguing for LaRon specifically, but I am saying that we ought to have some way of holding people accountable, as you say, have some way of holding, whether it's police officers or the mayor or the DA or anybody else, holding public officials accountable for the jobs that they do, and then let people do their job.
How do you see Oakland getting out of federal receivership? Because that's another big piece of this discussion that we didn't throw in. Oakland has been under receivership, the Oakland Police Department, since the Ryder's case in 2003. That means, for people that don't know, that Oakland has one of the most validated corrupt police departments in the country. That's a major problem for a city. How do you see us getting out of that?
Yeah, I think that you do have to hire people who are going to internally hold the police department accountable. But the huge question I have is, after 20 years, are we still unable to actually handle this issue ourselves? We're spending millions of dollars over that time period with the federal monitor. And I just think that at some point that it's got to become an internal thing. It's got to be something that makes sure that we as a community hold folks accountable. I don't know that necessarily having a federal court after 20 years has done much. It's very similar to having when the school district was under receivership. Education didn't change children in Oakland because of the receivership. I think that there's a certain point at which you have to self-govern. You have to be in charge of your own, have self-determination in terms of your own ability to govern yourself as a city, as a school district, et cetera. And you choose leaders that can get that done. And I think that's really where the question is. Like, do we have the leaders that we deserve at this point in our history?
That was the voice of Greg Hodge, CEO of the Brotherhood of Elders Network and former member of the Oakland Board of Education. Thank you, sir. People, look out for his name. He's definitely on the rise in our community. Thank you for being with us, Mr. Hodge.
Brother JR, thank you as always. You know, we don't always agree on everything, but I do agree that you are putting the story out there for our people to understand the issues, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you. And no, we don't have to always agree, but we do. We should, as a community, always discuss it, you know.
That's right.
And see where everybody waves. We may not agree, but no one has all the answers. So I acknowledge I don't. So, you know, I'm just putting it out there for the discussion. But thank you for coming on, man.
All right. Appreciate you.